Good morning. Welcome to the roundtable and to our panel discussion this morning. Very nice to have you with us on this Thursday morning. It is the 10th of March. And, well, we just had a beautiful, perfect weather day yesterday. It was 81 degrees here in Albany. I don't know where what it was where you are, but it was probably warm and beautiful as it was here. Today is not as nice and a little dampness in the air, but still pretty nice temperatures and a beautiful time of the year. So I hope you're enjoying it, and I hope we can start off your day.
It's one way to see it. The other way to see it is, bad news.
Global warming?
Last year was the warmest in history that we know about. So if we're going the wrong way, I keep thinking about that. And the thing, you know, when you go outside and you see near your house, you see an anthill, we're the ants. Don't you see?
Right. They're not... They're near you.
I was just saying good morning and enjoy a beautiful day.
But... I know. How do we get into ants? I'm lost already.
As I get older, I'm less and less against global warming.
Of course.
I have to tell you. As I get older, it's a little nice to be warm. I'll let the next generation deal with it.
Oh, Bridge.
Oh, I know.
Spoken like a true conservative.
Holden. No, just spoken like a senior citizen who enjoys some warm weather once in a while.
All right. Rich Holden is with us, in case you couldn't tell. He's our corporate attorney, and he is a corporate attorney, and he is with us, and we're very happy to have him, as always. WAMC's Alan Chartok is here. Still working on the ants. How are you?
No, I'm, I had several ants.
Yeah. And University at Albany journalism professor and investigative reporter Rosemary Armeo. Good morning.
Good morning.
Very nice to have you with us. All right. We had a Democratic debate last night. It was between, of course, Hillary Rodham Clinton and Senator Bernie Sanders. It had a lot to do with immigration issues and what is the panel's overall feeling about the debate held last night. This comes on the heels of a surprise win, a win by Bernie Sanders. It was a tough debate.
There was no talk of penises.
That is true.
Which immediately raises it above the most recent Republican debate. I think Bernie won.
And how about...
Doesn't that surprise you?
Yes.
Yes.
How about Jorge Ramos?
Great.
The first question.
That question.
First question.
You?
Yeah.
I thought all of the questions were difficult. I thought to both candidates, I would like to come in here and say, "Oh, Hillary really got beaten," but I think they were just as hard to Bernie Sanders. That tape with Fidel was that's hurtful to a candidate who has to run in a general election. I like the questions.
Jorge Ramos.
Yes.
Was the of course the. The anchor who butted heads with Donald Trump early on in his presidential campaign, thrown out of an event, mm-hmm. brought back into an event, and then thrown out again. He admitted that he not only does the company he works for mm-hmm. Is giving money to the Clinton campaign mm-hmm. through a super PAC, but also that his daughter works for the campaign. He made that very, very clear mm-hmm. up front, and then he just walloped her with one of the hardest questions of the right. night, which is, are you going to drop out if you
get
indicted?
Right. She took offense at it, too, which
yes.
is, as I said, Bernie beat this. He beat her solidly last night. And that was one example. Really, she's not considered ever getting that question. That really bothers. She's the person who's overscripted and overprepared. No one prepared her for that question. She goes, "I'm not even going to answer it," which I think is a terrible thing to say for any question in a debate. I don't think
Wait. What would you – look, you're so smart, Rosemary, but what would you have said?
I would have said, first of all, I would have started the same way. That is not going to happen. I've said this repeatedly, and I will keep on saying it. Here's what really happened.
Did you really think that I think you should welcome – I agree with Rosemary. I think you welcome those hardball questions,
yes.
right?
Oh, absolutely.
Because
yes.
you can knock them
yes.
out of the park.
Yes.
And did you really think she had not I know she acted like she hadn't. Did you really think she had not ever contemplated that question? I can't believe in their debate prep over a bazillion debates.
I agree with you, but...
I'm with Rosemary on this one because I think we've talked so many times in this program about missed opportunities
right.
on the behalf of Hillary
Clinton.
Hillary
Clinton does it over and over.
Where she has been able of, why didn't you see this coming? I remember there's probably in the last 2 years we've asked this question a dozen times. Why did she not see this coming?
Well, I have maintained the whole email scandal has been mishandled by the Clinton camp from the beginning. That first story that came out in the New York Times was seriously flawed. It was unbalanced. It was misreported. There was a major correction later. You didn't hear that from Hillary's camp. If it had been Trump, Trump would have been out there the next day saying, or the next minute,
right,
sitting in his palace saying, here's line by line everything wrong with the story. Hillary blew that. And I think she has continued to blow the whole thing. First was, no, I didn't do anything wrong. Then it's, I'm sorry I did it. I'm sorry I got caught. She's just come off it. It's just her terrible campaign style.
Do you think she suffers? I'm going to make an assumption here that I don't know is warranted, but do you think she suffers from the insularity of the people around her? In other words, do you think that the people around, does she have a group around her that put her on some kind of pedestal where, could it really be that they haven't approached these questions even in private?
I don't believe it.
She's well known as a real witch.
So then what's the
witch.
Answer then? If she, how could she be unprepared?
Here is the answer. Hillary Clinton is by nature a cautious and private person, and she does not trust the press, and she does not like being out. Here's one question last night where you see this. They ask her, again, she's had this before, people don't trust you. Why would we vote for you? Again, she's had it many times. For me or for her husband, anybody who was natural or liked talking to the public, you would say, oh, it hurts me to hear that. Instead, she goes, first of all, I'd like to say that it pains me to hear that question. It's just so corporate. And, you know, that's why she gets the reputation as being...
And she's been through four presidential campaigns, yeah. You know, personally.
Yeah.
You know, at some point, she's got to come to the realization that as private as she wants to be, if you're going to run for president or if your spouse is running for president, stuff's going
to
happen.
I've always said that. What would work for her is to find a reporter or a journalist of some sort that she could trust enough to say, okay, you handle it. That's what Eleanor Roosevelt did, if you'll remember. Eleanor Roosevelt is very similar personality, also stiff, unattractive, all the comments right. about it, you know, all the same stuff. What she did was found an AP reporter that she trusted and turned over her public relations to her. Of course, she's then accused of being a lesbian with her, but at any rate, that's how she got around it.
Eleanor Roosevelt also had, I'm going to venture to say, I think actually more personal warmth, I think. I mean, maybe not towards Franklin, all right, but Eleanor Roosevelt, I think, had you know, kind of a personal warmth that when she let people into her
Hillary
into
has
her
been
group.
Said to have that, you know, her friends and the people in small groups. She always does
more
better.
One-on-one.
Oh, the first, I got to tell
you, she won New York.
First time I ever met her, she just blew me away.
I interviewed her three times, and I had to tell you.
And I was pretty jaded by then, and it was on Capitol Hill. She was still a senator, and she just, her charisma just blew me away.
You're saying she does have it, then.
She did. Let's say, and this was years ago.
You don't lose charisma, Rich.
I don't know. I don't know. Then
no,
what
but
is
I
it?
Think you lose. I think
she's
you,
been beaten down pretty bad.
I think you have charisma, but I think you have charisma. I think it's easier to be in a small group amongst friends versus going back to exactly what you said a moment ago about being beaten up, not trusting the press, being a secure, you know, a private person by nature. I think that's it.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, Eleanor Roosevelt, Rich, was the wife of a president as right. opposed to somebody who could be the president. But I agree with the assessment here. I thought her best moment last night was when she indicated that she wasn't the politician. You know, her husband, and she threw her husband under the bus. He said, like, Obama and you know.
That's not throwing him under the bus. That's praising the other two. they have natural political skills. Yeah. But I don't think it was her best moment either. I think her best moment was in answering the woman whose children.
Yes.
Yeah, when she asked a personal question about immigration and how it had impacted her family.
Well, I think they both did great.
They both did good, but Hillary really, I thought she really connected on that. That was...
I've already said
I think Bernie won overall. I think he was funny.
Yeah, but
he was pumped up, obviously.
But are they even playing for? I mean, the nomination. Maybe you disagree. I mean, is she even playing for the nomination anymore, or is she now speaking to the larger audience?
Well, she ought to be playing for it because Michigan should have been a wake up call, Rich.
Yeah, I don't see it. I just don't see him sustaining it. But I feel like she's got this ready made opportunity that she's taking advantage of. You know, now, assuming she has the nomination, now it's the time comes to tack more toward the middle. Wow, sorry,
did you
that
yawn?
Was a large
yeah,
sigh.
That was a big sigh.
Did you yawn?
No, I was.
Okay, what did I say? What did I say that?
No, I just
you?
I'm with Rosemary. I don't know. I believe that.
You think it's still up for grabs?
I think, yeah.
What are the Florida poll numbers? Not that we're talking
about. She's about 20 points ahead, but so was she in Michigan.
Not 20.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, double digits.
Double digits, but
okay,
not 20.
Close to 20, right.
Not even close. Yeah, so. But
well,
that's
I mean, originally, I mean, like within a week, though, those numbers went down.
They did, Joe. You're right. Yeah, you're right.
And I don't know. I mean, if you have a couple of upsets and then there is momentum. And, I mean, you certainly have made no bones about it of being a Hillary supporter and come in and say she didn't do well in the debate last night. So if you have a major loss in the campaign, even though you come away this week with more delegates, you have a major loss.
Right.
And then you have a poor debate performance, and then you move on into these other states. And Bernie Sanders was on NPR last night. And in what I thought was a really good interview, and he said, look, Secretary Clinton has done extremely well in the southern states, and now she has to go into that Rust Belt.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And how well is she going to do? And he said, I don't know the answer to that question, but I think the jury's still out.
Yeah, I do. I think she's got to get well, more white voters and young voters.
Yeah,
and
right.
So far, she hasn't.
Well, either way, isn't still tacking towards the middle? She's not going to out left Bernie Sanders, right?
No, and in fact, he's pushing her. He's keeping her to the left.
Yeah, and I think so she's not going to win that battle. So why does she not just allow him to be left of her, and she picks up who
she
needs?
Because she will lose the primaries if she does that.
I don't see it. It's the opposite
effect of what's going on with Republicans who have to tack right.
Well, look, it's your guys' party. You really think your party's going to vote for Bernie Sanders over Hillary Clinton when all's said and done?
Boy, I didn't think so, but I'm getting worried.
Well, Rich, I think you make a very good point about the middle and preparing for the general election. Rosemary, I think you make a very, and Joe, I think you both make a very good point about having to really worry about what's happening here and not losing the nomination. As far as I'm concerned, guys, I don't see any reason why she can't be doing both.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's true.
Yeah, absolutely. Although, and because she has been fairly good with the Donald Trump question, and dealing with that without getting into the weeds with him,
mm-hmm.
And that seems to be helpful. But he's not ready. But he's not ready to start his full scale attack on her yet because he still has his
right.
His
well,
two.
What did you
to
think
do.
About the Fidel question? To Bernie, you supported the Castros. Isn't that playing into the Republican ideal?
Well, yeah.
What do you think about that?
Well, yeah, but you think about this for a second. We know now that the younger Cubans are all for the rapprochement with Cuba, that the older ones are still ticked off about because they came under these very repressive conditions. So they may know that. I mean, they may just know that there's really no risk at this stage of the game in being pro-rapprochement.
Mm-hmm. It did seem to me that he stumbled on the question, and I go back to what Rich said. You know, shouldn't these be the hard questions that you expect that you can knock out of the park?
Yeah. I will repeat, I think that the questions last night overall were the hardest that I've heard in a Democratic debate. And it wasn't just against Hillary. It was against both of them. They got one after another. There were follow-up questions. I thought the moderators were super.
No, yeah, but they couldn't—agreed. It's just I think it shocks all of us that any of them could have been unexpected.
Exactly, yeah. That, well, what I mean, we've had, what is it, the eighth debate? I mean, how could you have something new? They would have had to, I don't know, commit a crime yesterday in order to have new questions.
Presumably there's due diligence. I always think there's way too much prep that goes on for the debates anyway. I think the debates should actually be like kind of random drug tests. Like you should actually tell everybody, okay, we're having a debate.
We're both in Cincinnati.
Yeah.
Here we go.
Seriously, if you're running for president, should you not have your vision on all the major issues pretty well defined, where you have to now closet, as opposed to closeting yourself in a room with your advisor saying, all right, so if they ask me about the economy, what do I say? If they ask me about this FBI investigation, what do I say? I mean, shouldn't you already have that laid out in your head, maybe before you run?
Does it ever occur to you that there are some people who are good debaters but would be better leaders? That bothers me a little bit that, you know, the glibness. How George W. Bush ever got to be president, considering, you know, his ineptitude as a speaker is beyond me.
Yeah, well, and look, they're on the Republican side, they're having that problem, right? Because, or that issue. Ted Cruz, clearly a strong debater.
Yeah, right. Smart guy.
Smart guy, strong debater. Trump is Trump. You know, I don't even know how to describe it.
Nobody does.
Yeah, but certainly, you know, Cruz is certainly the strongest of the debaters. Mm-hmm. You know, Kasich maybe would be if he would ever open his mouth. Mm-hmm. But you're right. It doesn't always translate well. Mm-hmm.
You even look at the Bush brothers. Of the two, Jeb was the better governor. He's a policy wonk. He knew what was going on. He had great budgets. But he could not project that, let's go have a beer, friendliness, that camaraderie.
Or strength, Rosemary.
That's true. I agree.
I don't think he projects the strength of either. Of the other.
Yeah, the whole wimpiness thing that the father had came back on Jeb, but not on W. Right.
Meanwhile, he is meeting with Marco Rubio, Ted Cruz, and John Kasich this week to have his endorsement for whatever. And I don't mean this is
for whatever it's worth. It's still worth something.
You think so?
Oh, in Florida?
All right.
Oh, yeah. Bush name still has resonance throughout the establishment, the Republican establishment.
And meanwhile, he will not be meeting with Donald Trump. So there we go.
Gee, that's a surprise.
Yes, a very big surprise. Let's take a break. When we come back, we'll get to our letters. We'll move on to other topics, and we have much more to discuss. Alan Chartok, Rosemary Armeo, Rich Honan. We will continue our cavalcade of fun here on the Roundtable panel.
Like
Roundtable at WAMC.org. Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable and to our panel discussion this morning. Alan Chartok, Rosemary Armeo, Rich Honan make up the group this morning. And let's go to some letters and then we'll move on to other topics.
Okay. So Cody says, last night's debate is another perfect example. Why I'll be voting for whomever is the Democratic nominee. Can you imagine Republicans participating in a debate of the kind we saw last night? Spanish was spoken. People showed empathy towards others, and the debaters talked about taking in immigrants, not deporting them. I simply do not understand that those who say there's no difference between the two parties, the difference is clear to me. I don't usually agree with Rich, but it's always nice having him on the panel. Isn't that nice?
Yes.
Yeah.
I like when you get the bad letters calling your names.
Yes.
Do you like when you get
them? The glamour of that wears off pretty quickly, actually.
And Josh says the same thing. Nice to hear both sides of the aisle on the show. Keep up the good work. Okay.
Nice.
And Paul says, do you think after this Tuesday, when Rubio and Case are out of the two remaining, will focus more on the Democrats and be more civil with each other? No, is the answer to that.
No, Trump's going to continue to take all the air out of the room, right?
Kasich.
He said, I can't wait to be one-on-one with Ted Cruz. I mean, he's made that very, very clear. I don't think
I'm looking forward to
that. Actually, yeah, I mean, really, you know, we're going to watch that one.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
We will watch that one.
Absolutely.
That's almost like a viewing party, right?
Yeah.
Fox at one point had tried to put together a Trump and Bernie debate. I would have liked to hear that, too.
Yeah. Patsy says...
To come.
Oh, I hope not. Sorry.
Patsy says, good morning, panelists. I believe that the Rust Belt has not ever forgotten and will not forget the damage done to their economy by NAFTA, and Hillary will pay dearly for her husband's treaty efforts. Just my opinion, as always. And that's from Patsy. You know, that's an interesting point, because we had this massive change, last-minute change, and that was emphasized. That very principle was emphasized in the discussion leading up to the election.
Yeah, and that was also mirrored in the in part of the not the Republican debate, but during Trump's soliloquy the other day, right? The 1 hour on four networks, but he talked about that, right? Free trade versus fair trade. It's interesting that's an issue that's gaining traction.
Renee says, I don't agree with Rosemary's over the top analysis of Hillary's persona. She is articulate, intelligent, and has been pummeled to death re Benghazi and the email use. If she were a man, would you be talking about him with this much analysis of their demeanor? I haven't seen this happen yet.
What?
And then there's more on Sanders, but she's over the limit. But that's interesting, because no one has been more defensive of Hillary Clinton
than me. I know. You,
None of that is inconsistent. No. All of those qualities, none of them are inconsistent with what Rosemary
said. Articulate.
Yeah, nobody said she wasn't.
And I do look at the demeanors of others.
I was going to say, as I said,
Trump much a lot.
Well, we do that all the time, right? Yeah. I mean, with all of our candidates, I think we take that close of a look at.
And Walker says it was technically a 21% upset, according to the polling genius Nat Silver. Love the show, though. Okay.
What does that mean?
Nate Silver, when we were talking about Bernie overcoming in Michigan.
At one point it was 21%.
Well, it depends it depends on how far you came and how far you went.
I see.
So if you add those two up, I think that's how you get your 21%.
Right.
Okay. It's from Ken. Ohio double-digit lead, now low single digits. The object in your rearview mirror is actually closer than it appears. Bernie.
Well,
period.
Okay, but seriously, we have to, if you look at Michigan and then you say Ohio, and I mean, that's right.
Same problems.
You've got to be concerned when you look at the numbers and the polling data that you come out with.
Except arguably for the better economic status of Ohio across the board than, say, Michigan. Yeah. All right, and so if you're following the anger, line of argument that, you know, people are voting based on anger, you would think there'd be less anger economically. I mean, Ohio has weathered
things better than
Michigan.
I have a question. You think Rubio can win in Florida?
Poor little Marco. I thought he would. Yeah, I was wrong on that one. I thought he would do better, you know, last week.
Oh, no.
Boy, the numbers.
He came out fighting and yelling, trying to out-Trump Trump. I think that was a big, big mistake.
Well, was there anything that wasn't going to be a mistake by him?
Absolutely. He could have, I mean, he could have been, I thought he could have been the guy of reason. I thought that, talk about fumbling an opportunity on the immigration plan. He's been defending that forever, and I don't know why he never stood up and said, hey, listen, Ted, while you were off sulking in a corner, okay, I was trying to do a deal, you know, with a hostile Congress, you know, and trying to get something done. I thought that was a beautiful opportunity for him all through these debates. And he just never –
in Senate doing any of those things. Aside from that small problem, he could have lied about it.
No.
Yeah, he has a terrible attendance record.
Okay,
and
the immigration plan, clear. I mean, look, he had ownership of that plan, right?
But he wants to back away from it, which I think is a mistake.
You guys are talking policy when nobody's listening to policy. The only thing they care about is penis size and thumping on the table and yelling at each other. Come on,
This would have been a subtle way of Marco asserting penis size over somebody like Cruz by saying I was out there fighting, subtext, like a man, while you were there, sulking like a child.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's good.
So that's the subtext, Alan.
Yeah.
I mean, and I think
I don't agree.
And Rosemary, I mean, you,
and in a rare moment, Rich and I agree.
Agree.
Please
yeah,
let that yes. be noted for the record.
I don't know.
At 9:39 on yeah. this Thursday well, morning,
here come the four horsemen of the apocalypse.
So I agree with you, though, because I've been reading several opinion pages or op-eds about this. As far as the moment that if you want to say jumped the shark, was when he went down to Trump's level yeah. and started right. to attack.
And he isn't as good at it.
No,
as
he's
Trump.
Horrible.
No one's as good at it as Trump.
No, I mean,
okay?
But why would you even think you could play that game? And more to the point, why would you want?
Because his advisors told him to. That's
yeah,
why.
But
talent.
But
why would you want to?
That's the problem, though. It's not. It's not so much that he went out of character, which was bad. He was bad at it because it was out of character. But I think what it really demonstrated was, here's a guy who doesn't speak his own mind, who doesn't have right. the confidence of his own thoughts. So his advisors tell him to basically, you know, say Jeff, black is white, yeah. as white as black. And that shows the quality of lack of leadership.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
I thought that was the biggest mistake.
To which I say, no matter what he did, loser.
Oh, yeah. Now you sound like Trump. Oof.
Well, no,
but I'm coming on top of that.
I don't think there was
thing.
Look, Rosemary, there's nothing he could have done. If he pursued the course he was on, he was losing badly. If he changed his mind and started to be Trump, he was going to lose too, for all the good reasons both of you have said.
I think he could lose his Senate seat now. It's so bad.
Well, yeah, well, and now he's persona non grata among he was the Republican, the sole remaining member of the Republican establishment, and now there's all this pressure on him to say, you know, if you don't get out. Okay, and Trump wins Florida over you. It's going to be your fault that Trump
yep.
became the Republican nominee.
No, he's done. I think he's done. By the way, are we sure that Trump is running? I don't mean Trump. Rubio is running again this time? In other words, I don't know the answer to that question.
I thought he was only in for 2 years, but I
maybe.
I
no,
can't
you're saying
I can't
the
recall.
Next time he's up for election.
Yeah, but I want to know who's sure. one of those guys is
running
not running
already.
Again.
No, and there was some. I heard talk last night from one of the Rubio supporters that was on was saying that he would also eye governor. So
yeah.
Right. But that's so
yeah, this has not gone well for him.
No,
I put the blame on you. You have to have the confidence in your own ability and your own instincts. If your instincts are wrong, your instincts are wrong.
The piano player wrote and said, "I am shocked that Rosemary said that Hillary is well known as a witch. That is a sexist term, and I, for one, expect better of Rosemary." Wow,
you know,
said
context,
the piano player.
The context of the discussion was whether her staff had isolated her from realities, and I'm simply saying that she's not known as warm and fuzzy to her staff. I think they would have been delighted to bring her bad news. So...
Yeah.
And besides, I like working for witchy women. I think they're strong and powerful.
That
and that's
way?
Yeah, I think I've been called that probably.
Oh. I would never call you that.
Yeah. But
yes, you
but
not no, my
I
face,
would
though.
Not. Yeah,
there is the gender stereotype though, cuz you wouldn't call a man a warlock. You know, you would call him some other word.
I would call
him other word.
I would call him a word that's equally bad, but I can't.
What is that word?
I'll
tell you in the break.
Word, yeah, you know. Okay, we're going to...
the P word?
We're going to take a...
No.
All right, we're not going to start guessing.
Now
okay?
you're giving
we're
me
not...
ideas for other okay. words.
All right, now let's take a break, and we can end this mystery within the panel, and we'll get to some other topics as well. We'll be right back. Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable and to our panel discussion this morning. Very nice to have you with us on this Thursday morning. This is a story that has been making the rounds and been getting a lot of play. I think, you know, for obvious reasons. So hours after gun rights advocate Jamie Gilt bragged on Facebook that her 4-year-old son, quote, gets jacked up to target shoot, the same child accidentally turned his mother into a target, shooting her in the back. The 31-year-old Jacksonville woman was driving down a road in Putnam County, Florida on Tuesday when her son managed to get a hold, 4 years old, managed to get a hold of a gun while he was sitting in the back seat of the vehicle. According to a statement by police, officials told the Florida Times Union that the child fired a .45 caliber handgun that he found on the truck floor. into the driver's seat. She was shot through the seat, and the round went through her back. There was a booster seat in the back of the vehicle, but however, the boy was not strapped in when the deputy got to them. And the last I knew, she was in stable condition, I believe.
That's right. But shame on her. But I feel awfully badly for that child, because this is something that that child may have to live with for the rest of their life. And I'm sure, you know, any psychologist or others would say, you know, you better let this one go with
the
kid.
Well, absolutely. And you shouldn't. I mean, kids shouldn't have access to guns on the floor of a car.
And they always are strapped in. I mean, she's going to be charged with child endangerment, I hope.
And they always argue that, by the way. They always argue that we're going to take care of our guns. We lock them up. We do this. We do that.
I think shame on the New York Times. And why?
Oh my God! Blame the media. For the
vituperation of for the glee with which they report that, hey, look, gun advocate gets shot by her kid, served her right.
You don't think that's a good story?
I think that's a very mean-spirited story.
Well, mean-spirited, it happens to be right, and it happens to make a point that's terribly important. What's the matter with you, Rich?
10 points for Gryffindor for using vituperous. However...
Yeah, but now if I used it wrong, everybody's Googling it right now.
However...
It's vituperative, actually.
Yes.
Vituperation was the word
true.
I used.
So why, I don't understand, this is a story that happened,
but
it's been covered by everybody.
Okay, but it's,
and
again...
this is a woman who has, when you look at her social media profile, she is a gun advocate.
She's a gun advocate, and so she deserves what she got. Is that the story?
No, that is not the story.
I think it's a mean-spirited story.
I believe Alan hit it the nail on the head. I mean, you think about the child, you think about her, you think about the access to the guns, and I think it brings all of the things that we have been talking about as a nation for 30 years with absolutely nothing being done.
I think it's a story. It's an outlier story. I think
it's not the first time it's happened.
Oh, I look, you know,
we had the story about
the real gun advocates are the ones who, you know, are always very, very strong on the safety of the guns and locking the guns, and obviously nobody's defending. She leaves a gun lying around in the back seat, and almost a bigger crime in America doesn't have her kid in the booster seat. That's almost like a felony.
That's the first thing Rosemary said.
In a town hall meeting yesterday, Rubio was asked about guns, and he had the most convoluted answer about why you needed a law to allow students to carry on campuses, and it was because, well, you know, he has his gun in his car and he's driving, he had to stop at campus. What should he do? Stop and put his gun that he carries in the car to protect himself under a bush? No, he has to be able to carry on the campus. And you're left later saying, "What? What?"
Look, obviously, no one's defending the woman. I'm not saying it's an invalid story. I think the glee that the non-gun rights advocates are taking I think it's a little unseemly.
The article I sent you, by the way, was from the Washington Post, just to clarify, but I don't know.
When I read the story, I said, oh, I'm going to have to not say ha 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 karma today. I was pressing down glee. I think what he's talking about, I don't think it's, the newspaper had to cover it, and I think they did it very straight. But yes, people who don't like guns, like me, did have that feeling. Yeah. Absolutely.
And we still have this debate. We still are unable to actually have any kind of common sense, A, debate, and B, solution to this problem.
And here's why. It's because the NRA has kept out of any research, any scientific studies or look, anything about gun violence. And that's what you really need. There's not any evidence. For the past 15 years, Republicans and people who say we should have guns say, well, we don't know, that law won't work. Well, nothing works. Well, we don't know what would work because we haven't looked at it.
And you made me think of something, and here now in the last 9 minutes, now everybody get ready, okay? But you made me think of something.
You came so close.
And I don't disagree with that. I put the NRA with every other trade group, every other special interest, right? Mm-hmm. Imagine, God forbid, there's a President Trump. Okay, let me just add. This is actually a question. Do you think he would be as cowed by the NRA as, you know, many of the people in Congress right now?
He loves the NRA.
Do you think if
right now, it would be inconvenient to do anything else.
Okay, but I'm saying, if he wanted to do something about guns, do you think he'd be cowed? Or do you think he's I don't care, I'm going to do it?
I don't think Obama is cowed, and he's been completely ineffective. And
well,
I think any
he's not cowed, but he's ineffective.
It's whether congressmen and senators are cowed. That's where the problem is. It's not in the presidential office.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like that's a place where leadership and cajoling and getting things done with Congress. Remember the first gun bill right after Newtown. There were actually some Democrats that didn't even sign on to that. Just the amount of fear, you know, within
the
Congress.
NRA.
Yeah, and I'm just saying.
I think that's to Rosemary's point that it's far beyond presidential.
Well, who knows? I don't know. I don't know that.
Now you're buying into Trump's idea that he's such a great deal maker.
No,
he can make happen something that hasn't happened in the last 20 years.
I think I'm buying a little bit into the idea of. Not being as beholden to the traditional interests. Let me say it that way. I mean, listen, none of us can say that Trump's, you know, you could all say he's crazy, but I don't think any of us accuse him of being beholden to one or another special interest.
Donald Trump.
Okay. Other than Donald Trump.
I don't know. I think he's assembled his fact pattern in such a way that he's not going against guns because he's running for office. That puts him in the beholden group to some degree.
No, that's true.
Well, yeah. I think he's made no bones of the fact that I think he said, look, my first job is to get the nomination, and then I'm going to turn to the next thing. But I guess I'm just wondering whether, you know, what it will take to actually have a real debate and a real solution on this. If you're saying the president can't do it, and if you're saying Congress is going to be all namby-pamby because they're afraid
I'm saying that if a guy going in and killing 5- and 6-year-olds in a classroom doesn't do it, I don't know what the hell is going to do.
I agree with you. And Rich, we had an interesting letter from Michael who said, how would Rich suggest the story be reported? Because you didn't like the way the New York Times did it.
It was not the New York Times, but I felt like I was reading the New York Times.
Jeez.
This is why the media cannot win. They're all the same.
Yeah.
They're not.
I wish I had the story in front of me, but there were little tidbits there. But it was clearly, you know, what made it interesting was she was a gun advocate, and this is what happened, and there's probably, unfortunately, a million of these stories that go on, you know, people being shot, you know,
there's been at least three in the last year.
A lot.
Well, you know,
that's probably more than that. People, you know, kids playing with guns.
And Michael.
That's awful.
I mean, and Michael called you to task, said, glee over shooting by a child. Dude, get a grip. I, for one, read these stories with despair. That's what Michael.
Come on. I said I had the feeling and then squelched
you
it.
Did.
No, no,
you
they're
did
yelling. Say, I thought they're
no.
yelling at me.
Well,
no,
I don't know.
Exactly.
I think it was Rosemary, but it may have been you, because if it was Rosemary, they would have said dudas instead of dude.
I think the proper word is dudette.
Don't ever call me that.
Okay, so in the final moments...
On the long list of things, that is not one of them.
When we're... I'm going to bring up a question here just in our last 4 minutes because Rich kind of was sniffing around on the outside of this. But the other night when Donald Trump was doing his victory speech / press conference, and he brought up all the Trump products that Mitt Romney had mentioned and said,
I missed that part of it,
NPR did a terrific job.
They sure did. Okay. NPR did a great job. PBS did a great job. And you look at the, apparently Trump Steaks is out of business. The steaks that he were showing were just steaks that were at his, that were at his resorts that he uses.
They went through a long laundry list and they were all messed up.
Of the product placement.
Everything was like wrong. Okay. And it was different. It was a different magazine. It was all this other stuff. My question to this is the print, even in the New York Times, the print coverage of this has been, well, here are the facts, but this is the inclusion that I want to ask you about, which is here are the facts. But we realize it won't make any difference. Have we given up that anything will make a difference?
No, that's editorializing, isn't it? Isn't that the New York Times editorializing?
Well, was it an editorial?
No, that's the New York Times saying, okay, we're going to tell you the facts, but you guys obviously
don't care.
They don't say that. Is that what they're saying?
I mean, that
they're kind of saying, listen, we know if you're listening to Trump, you're obviously not listening to the facts, but we're going to give you the facts because that's our job. We know you're not listening.
Come on, Rich, you know very well that they don't say that.
Joe, you know I'm right on this.
He's right. It's just a correct opinion to have. They've also done news stories looking at that. Yeah, he is.
No, if they said it, he would be right. They didn't say it. And so therefore,
I can't bring it up right in front of me. But it was very clear. I mean, that's certainly the takeaway.
But they leave it to us to do the takeaway. Come on, there's a big difference between our doing the takeaway from a stupid woman who leaves a gun in the back of her car, for example, as opposed to telling you that you're not going to care about this or you're not going to care about his products. Come on, what's the matter with you people?
I don't know. I think the Times was trying to make its point. You know,
by showing you the article.
The Times has actually done news articles looking at proofing, fact checking by the media, which was hailed as, oh, this is great. You know, we now can do it really well. Right. It's our function, and it's going nowhere. So right. I think that their opinion is. It was an opinion,
it's
based on their reporting.
Yeah. And by the way, somebody wrote us just for a second and to tell us that in Florida you can't run for two offices in the same election.
I thought you couldn't actually hold two federal offices.
In Texas, you may remember. I think I remember.
Right.
Lyndon Johnson got the law changed so that he could run both for Senate and president. that's the way it is.
All right, we're out of time. I want to thank everybody who wrote in. We welcome your letters, roundtable@wamc.org. Alan and Rosemary and Rich and Ted and Alice, thank you very much. It's very nice to have you on the program. We will continue after the short break.